Lord, we recognize that you have entered the room. Lord, I pray that we would have spiritual eyes to behold you. Lord, that we would recognize that you are in our midst, and when you show up, things change. People change. Things transform. Dead things come to life. Lord, I pray that today, Lord, we would just come in certain alignment with you, in which those things in our lives that are out of alignment, Lord, we would recognize that we have a God that can fix anything. Whether it be our personal lives, marriages, whatever part of the crazy society that we're living in, we bring you into it. Things change. Things happen. Lord, I pray that we would be able to come from the base point of your acceptance this morning. That we are the beloved in Christ Jesus. What awesome news that is. That we are loved by God. Thank you, God, for salvation. Lord, for those who aren't yet experiencing this great salvation, Lord, I pray that today would be the day. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness and your love towards us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Last week I pointed out a passage of scripture in the book of Acts as the church was beginning to spread across the map. There was a phrase that was made as the Christians came to town, basically. There was Paul and his group of ministers had entered into a particular city, and the phrase was spoken out, "These are those who have turned the world upside down." I love that. I pray that we, Christians, would continue turning the world upside down, because what actually happens is already upside down, we turn it right side up. And so in this upside down kingdom of putting others before yourselves, of sacrificing your life in order that we might live, and exalting him as we humble ourselves, and that he who is humble exalts us, this upside down kingdom, it's awesome. As you see things that don't seem to make sense to the world, it actually makes sense to God. And that's how his kingdom works. I want to point out, as that statement was made, these are the ones who have turned the world upside down, and now they have come here. That's what the statement was. The question then comes is, well, how? How did they turn the world upside down? And since you've asked that question, I'm going to answer it for you, because I know you're curious about that. And it's an awesome question. So what did they do? Did they have some kind of a formula? Did they have some kind of a plan? Did they have some kind of... what did they do to have such a dramatic effect on their world that they turned the world upside down? That was such a dramatic kingdom expansion, so fast, so dramatic, the power of God moved forward. What'd they do? Well, in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, it tells us how this happens. What you're going to pick up on is a pattern, is I'm going to take you through the scriptures, just through the book of Acts, and we're going to find a pattern. We're going to pick up on it pretty quick. And that when this happened, this happened. Everybody with me? We're going to start on the day of Pentecost in chapter 2, verse 40. As the Holy Spirit is poured out on Christians, the power of God became evident. Peter gets up there and begins preaching a message. And here's what it says in verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. That's fast church growth right there. I mean, we got 3,000 saved and baptized that day. It's wild stuff. Verse 46, we're going to drop down to verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What is it that is happening that the church is multiplying? How is it that they're being added to, and then later the word won't be added, it is multiplied? Chapter 4, verse 4. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. chapter 4, verse 29. See, I'm just going to take the book of Acts, and I'm just going to go page by page. And I know you'll have it on the screen. It'd be more dramatic if you had your own Bible, and some of you, and so maybe as I'm reading through, you'll kind of get it. If you don't have your own, then look at me as I am one page after the next page in the book of Acts. What is happening that the church is exploding? Pick up on the pattern, verse 29. Now, Lord, they're in a prayer meeting, by the way. They just come out of some persecution. And here's what they pray. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. What are they praying for? Lord, help us to be able to speak your word with boldness. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. That's a powerful prayer meeting. Just shook the house. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I'm trying to give you all kinds of hints. I'm trying to give you some hints. Verse 22, guess what next happens? Now the multitude of those who believed were one heart and one soul, and the church multiplies. We're going to move on to chapter 5, verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord. That's something else that's always associated, is the unity. They were all in one accord in Solomon's porch. This is the temple complex. Yet none of the rest dared join them. This was after we had I preached on this about a month ago. It was a strange church growth program. Two people had lied to God and were killed over dead right there. And so people were a little bit afraid of this group. But look at verse 14. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Verse 19. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. There were those, I know I'm just kind of cutting through this. There were some who were imprisoned through this time of persecution. And here's what the angel said. Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Speak the words. Chapter 5, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Now in those days, this is now just moves right from chapter 5 to chapter 6. Now in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, what is happening? They spoke Jesus and the number of disciples was multiplied. If it hadn't got clear enough to you yet, let's see if verse 7 helps you. Chapter 6, verse 7. Then the word of God, I don't know if anybody picked up on that. And the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied. Everybody catching it now? That's about as clear as I can make it. What is the connection? What is a direct connection? I'm just going through the book of Acts. What is this phenomenon that's happening in the world that is just the kingdom of God is expanding just so rapidly? And it's all the way through the book of Acts. And we're just going to keep going. I'm going to read this verse again, verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. Now I want to jump over to the next page, chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Preaching the word. Now I want to check over to chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Verse 24. For he was a good man. This is one of the original deacons, Stephen. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great number of people were added to the Lord. When he did what? He spoke the word of the Lord. Chapter 12, verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. How does the word multiply? How does the word multiply? Because when the kingdom multiplies, people take the word. Everybody? Catch that. We are supposed to be taking the word with us. As we grow in the Lord, as we become followers of Christ, we take the word. All right, chapter 13, verse 49. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. This is just as clear as it can be. Chapter 16, verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them decrees, the word of the Lord. decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Next page, chapter 19. I'm going to end with this one. I know y'all got it now, right? Everybody got it. Chapter 19, verse 20. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and did what? Prevailed. Prevailed. What does that mean? It wins. It wins. It prevailed. It's not just added to. Early in the book of Acts, they was added to. They were added to daily. And then all of a sudden, it's multi. Y'all do know the difference between adding and multiplying, right? So I take the number 5 and I add 5 to it. Well, that's only 10. Still pretty good. But if I take the number 5 and multiply it by 5, how much is that? I hope you're right. 25. So it's now we're not just adding to the kingdom, but when this 5 got saved and each one of the 5 went out and they shared the gospel, each one of the 5 wins another 5. Everybody sees how that happens. That's the multiplication of the kingdom of God. What were they doing to multiply the kingdom of God? They were just spreading the word. They were just spreading the word. There is something most, it is the most powerful force in all the universe is the word of God. In Genesis chapter 1, when there was nothing, God spoke into nothing and everything was created by his word. Amen? By the word of God. Joshua chapter 1 is a meaningful verse of scripture to me because when I first came to Sand Springs 20 years ago, I was a 29-year-old minister. I never pastored before in my life. I didn't ever expect to either. And yet God was calling me to pastor here. There was about 30 of us. And I remember my first Sunday, I think there was 3 or 4 different pastors in the congregation, all of them better equipped than I was. And yet I knew God was calling me here. And here's the passage he gave me, Joshua chapter 1. And it says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to the fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Everybody catching that? What is he saying? Take the law, the word of God, and you apply it to your life. Get it in you somehow. Be strong, courageous, and stick to the word. Be strong, courageous, and stick to the word. I'm going to read verse 7 again. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do. Everybody say to do. It's not just to know. It's to do. Somebody, that's all you needed to hear today. You got it. It's not just to know. It's to do. Observe to do according to all the law which the Lord, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. We need to recognize that though some may have misused this word prosperity, it's a good word. Because God's word always brings prospering. Amen? Amen? The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Not depart from your what? Which means it's to be spoken. It's to be spoken. It shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate. Remember, this is the word God gave me when I came to Sand Springs. You're called there, son. You be strong, courageous, and put this word in your mind and let it come out your mouth. Yes, sir. Okay, Lord. Here we go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do it. Do according all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. If I were to have a business, and some of you, some of our young men and women are, have businesses for themselves and have a little bit of anxiety. What am I supposed to do with the business? Well, the Lord already told us here's how the way he's going to be successful and prosperous. Get this word and apply it to your business. Get this word and apply it to your marriage. Get this word and apply it to your life. Get this word and apply it to every part of your life and you will be prosperous and successful according to this word. Amen. Amen. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And there's the key. He's with you. How do you get His word? Well, you're walking alongside Him. You can hear from Him. He speaks to us. God, you do know God still speaks to His people, right? You know that. And I'm going to go back again to verse 8 again. The book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Many of us know Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. That's what he just said to Joshua. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Fruitfulness. Everybody with me? His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The wicked are not so, but like the chaff which the wind drives away. What does that mean? They're empty. They have nothing. They're light as a feather. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the assembly of the righteous. God knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Blessed is the one who walks not in his own counsel of the ungodly, but walks in the way of the word. Amen? So, meditating on it day and night, I get the word in my mind. I get the word in my heart. I get this word in me. Everybody with me? Meditate on it. It has an effect in me, but it's not enough just to meditate on it. It said, don't let it depart from your mouth. They were, and now, in the book of Acts, now it is infused with the power of the Holy Spirit. And they're going out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as they're speaking the word, man, the church is just growing all over the place. I love Hebrews chapter 1. And chapter 1, verse 1 says, God, who at various times and various ways spoke to our fathers through prophets, has in these last days spoken to us through Jesus. Amen. John chapter 1 says, He is the living word. He is the living word. All right, so, who in these last days has spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, capital W. When you see something capitalized in the Bible, know it's a name. It's talking about somebody. And John chapter 1 is talking about Jesus, the living Word. It says that nothing in this world was made without Him making it. Amen. Jesus, who in the beginning already was, is also Creator God, that everything that was created, Jesus was in on it. Amen. What you believe about Jesus is a matter of life and death. Please know that. What you believe about Jesus makes you either a Christian or a cult. It got a little quiet. There are those who believe that Jesus became a God by living good enough, but that's contradictory directly to the Word of God, which John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, what? Was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, not one thing was made that was made. Jesus created everything. And so, I need to get to verse 3. Who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. What is that saying? Jesus is the manifestation of the Godhead. Jesus said, you see me? They said, show us God. He said, you see me, you see God. I am God. So, He's the express image of His person and upholding all things. This is what I wanted to get to. This is the good stuff right here. The word of His power. The word of His power. Not just, how would we normally say that? The power of His word. Notice that it's intentionally turned. The word of His power. I just want you to just imagine, put your thinking caps on, like Miss Barron told us at Bel Air Elementary School in kindergarten. Put your thinking caps on. I need you to be able to grasp this, that the Godhead, all the power of the Godhead, you know, some of y'all looked at the eclipse, and you had to have some glasses because you couldn't even look at just one little tidbit of His glory without giving some kind of a filter to your eyes for you permanently damage your eyeballs. And yet here's God who spoke that into existence. And He Himself, all the power of God, how does that power go out? Through His word. I need you to catch that. His power is manifested. Another word, made tangible, made visible. His power is manifested by Him speaking it. Ain't that good? You still got your thinking cap on? His power is manifested through the word of His power. Through the word of His power. Now, just being able to envision that, I'm going to go from the unimaginable, the power of God, that we have to really dumb it down for us to even grasp it with our little pea brains. So I'm going to try and give an illustration to see if I can help make this a little more graspable. I don't think that's a real word, but I made it one. And so I was thinking about this week on how, as the word goes out, His works go forth. As the word goes out, the harvest comes in. As the word goes out, the church grows. And as the church grows and they take the word with them, the church multiplies. No longer is adding, it's multiplying. And so how does that look on my level? Because, all through ministry and growing up in church, we've been taught evangelism tools. We've been taught different things. I taught the Romans Road. I remember as a little boy, I had on the front of my Bible, turn to page whatever. And that was Romans 3. This was called Loading Your Bible. He would say, turn to whatever. It's Romans 3:23. So you turn to Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. At the bottom of that page, turn to page whatever. Romans 5:8. In Romans 5:8, for God has demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. At the bottom of that page, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. At the bottom of that page, as a kid, that was my tool. That was my tool, and I remember getting saved at 7 and being able to take the gospel to my friend and sharing with my buddy at 7 years old that somebody helped me load my Bible. And there's Romans chapter 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:13, for all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's the plan of salvation right there. Somebody, as a 7-year-old, I could do that. Somebody loaded my Bible. By the way, just last year, that buddy of mine that was at 7, I got to share gospel with him. I got to baptize him last year. Amen. I think he's going to be in the third service today. He just turned 50. I got off track. I don't know where I was going with all that. But anyway, we had tools for evangelism. We have tools of being able to share the gospel with somebody. And yet, I remember, I'm going back, story time, all right? I remember as a youth pastor and associate pastor at Rock Hill Baptist Church in Brownsboro, Texas, that I felt the burden. I was told, you're supposed to evangelize. You're supposed to share the gospel with people. So now I have this kind of a guilt trip going on, and you're supposed to tell people the gospel, and I know I'm supposed to do it. And I remember walking into that gas station. I can't tell you which one it is. I think it's a CEFCO today. If you're going into Brownsboro, you're headed east. It's on the left-hand side. Only one on the left-hand side. And there was a woman probably in her 50s there at the cash register, and I had to pay for my gas. And then I walked out, and I had that gospel tract in my pocket. And it was just burning a hole in my pocket. I know I'm supposed to evangelize. I'm going to look like some kind of a goober, some kind of a weirdo. And so I opened the door and slapped it down on the desk, and I ran back out to my truck. And I think it's supposed to be more natural than that. I've always heard of the joy of evangelism. I wasn't very joyful. I wasn't enjoying it at all. I felt so awkward, felt like a goober. How am I supposed to be doing this and properly represent my God to say, no, this is good news? If it's good news, they want to receive it and you want to give it. If it's good news, why am I feeling weirded out by sharing it? And so I was just reminded this week, the Lord just kind of opened up my understanding about honeybees. Again, we took it from the real big, can't fathom it, down to a honeybee. And a honeybee, it's springtime, and you have your gardens growing, and everything's beautiful and green outside, and you got these little bees flying around. If they weren't there, things would be real bad. A honeybee goes up to that flower, and it's just enjoying the sweetness of it. It's just doing what it do. It's just going up to that flower. He don't have a plan. He hadn't just, okay, here's what I have to do. I'm supposed to start with the bad news, then go to the good news. He just do what he do. Now, honeybee is just going and enjoying the sweetness of that. But what's happening is while he's just drinking of the nectar of that flower, pollen is rubbing off on him. Potency. Pollen is rubbing off on him. And you could magnify a picture of that little honeybee. He's got little stuff hanging all over his legs. Pollen. He then goes to the next flower. I'm just enjoying the sweetness of this flower. But what he's doing, he's transferring the potency from one to the next. I hope you're getting it. As we're just drinking of the sweetness of God's word, and then I go and visit with somebody, his sweetness, I'm carrying it with me, but I'm carrying with me the potency of reproduction, the power of God. And it's just not, I don't know that I'm doing it. I'm just out of the overflow of what I got that morning, I'm just going and making contact with other people. Y'all with me? Now it's not weird, it's not awkward, it's not like it's forced. It's like, oh, you're some kind of a salesman trying to get me into something. What's the side effects? What's the backlash? What's the catch? No, it shouldn't be like that. It should be natural, supernaturally. So we just go and we just, the word. I'm getting in the word. The word's getting into me and I'm transferring it. I'm transferring it. I'm rubbing off on other people. You're rubbing off on other people. As we continue to get in the word, it gets on us. As it gets in us. And as we contact other people, it gets on them. For long, you know it's in them. Amen. And then power, reproduction, life happens. Potency. God is all powerful. There's a theological word, and that is omnipotent. 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 We have omniscient, meaning all knowing. Omnipresent, he's all everywhere. Omnipotent, he is all powerful. That potency, though, will rub off on you, and you can transfer it to other people. How? As you spread the word. Amen. The power of his word. Why are some Christians unfruitful? Because they're not making contact. See, you can't have reproduction without contact. I figured that out. I'll leave that alone. But we need to make contact and abide with the Lord. Jesus says, John chapter 15, verse 5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If one abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do how much? Nothing. Without abiding, there's no fruitfulness. Without connecting, there's no potency. Just get in the word. Just begin to enjoy it. Begin to recognize it's the sweetness of God. And just dip your beak in this rascal and just suck up all the sweetness you can and then just go spread it around. Amen. Amen. Now it becomes a joy and not a job. Now it becomes a blessing and not a burden. And now we're just naturally supernatural. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you for the sweetness of your word. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today who has not tasted and seen that the Lord is good, oh, that today would be the day they would find and experience the power of God in their life. Your word goes out, your works happen. Your works go with your word. Your work go with your word. As miracles were happening, they were speaking them. There was contact. There was word. Lord, I pray that we would see the exact same thing they saw in the book of Acts, and the message would be spreading across our city, our county, our region. That's the people that turned the world upside down. They have absolutely transformed our city. And we'll just continue to point the credit back to you, King Jesus. For you're the one who makes all things new. You're the one who transforms, who takes dead things and brings life to them, that takes the void and fills it with your goodness. It's all you. Lord, I thank you for that goodness. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.